Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, July 5th, back from a vacation,
yeah.
A one-day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked to me like you were having a lot of fun, huh? I saw a picture of you.
Yeah.
With this guy.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Was that like, look who's back in town or look who's back or whatever?
He's from London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how, is it someone you know?
Yeah.
You knew him before?
Yeah. Well, I met him like a month and a half ago, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's new.
Yeah, he's a potential.
Oh, a potential.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he seemed pretty handsome.
Yeah, no, he's really, really good looking.
Yeah?
Yeah. He just like highlights his hair, so it kind of throws me off.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Well, people do that, you know, for fashion.
I think that's normal in the UK.
To express themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His friend likes me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got a problem then, right?
Not really.
No?
No. I really don't care about either one of them right now, but.
Yeah. Well, interesting. So he's British?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice. So you must have fallen for the accent.
Yeah,
right?
I love me some accents. You know this. I love accents. But I actually didn't do anything on Tuesday night, which would have been smart because we didn't have to wake up for the show.
That's true.
I went to bed at literally 8:30.
Really?
Yeah. I don't
know
what's wrong with me.
At least you get some good rest, right?
Yeah. Me and the pup were out. I took him for a walk.
Yeah.
Well, no, I've been like really sick all week. Like growing up, and I didn't know what was going on because anytime I would eat immediately after, it was like I was done.
Wow.
But I've been eating salads because I'm trying to like get in shape just in case I get called for this show. And I realized the salad dressing is expired, so that was what was making me sick.
Oh my God.
Isn't that disgusting? 2017.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ugh.
How many times did you eat it?
Like I got sick on Monday and that I had on Monday. Then I got sick on Tuesday and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I thought it was like the ground beef I put in my pasta. Nope, it was the salad dressing I had with my pasta.
Oh, wow. How did you figure that out? Just kind of deducting what it could be?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I think I was like in the fridge and I was like shaking it to put on another salad.
And
then I saw 2017. I was like, no wonder. Makes sense
you
now.
You got a message from the gods.
Yeah. And then yesterday I went out. And I went to like a bunch of house parties and I just can't believe how much drugs just like runs through this city.
Really?
Yeah. It's
insanity. What kind of drugs are you talking about?
Anything.
Really?
Anything and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insanity. I was like, what? We're at a house party.
Yeah.
And there's like no barbecue. There's nothing.
Just like, drugs.
Just drugs.
What the hell is wrong with kids?
He's like, who wants me to cook you up some cocaine?
Wow.
I'm like, can you maybe make some chicken wings? Like, what is this?
Wow.
Yeah, and then my friend was there.
So that was like a running theme from one party to the other?
Every single party. But I did go to a party yesterday that had live animals, which I felt really bad about, but they are so beautiful up close.
Yeah.
Tigers, lions, zebras, giraffes.
In a friggin' party?
In a friggin' party in the literally backyard of like somebody's party.
Really?
Yeah.
How did they get them?
They were in cages, but they definitely looked like they wanted to eat all of us.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure.
They're so beautiful.
How did they get them for a party, though?
Paid.
Do people rent out like animals?
Yeah.
Really?
What a terrible life those animals have, though.
Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised they allow them to do that.
Yeah. They breed them in North Carolina. Mm. I was like talking to the breeders for like 10 minutes. I was like, hey, so when you feed them, do they try to eat you? Like I was very mesmerized because they're humongous.
Yeah.
They had a full-blown tiger and a lion, like a lion with a mane.
Like a human stands no chance against an animal like that.
Oh my God. It's literally maybe like six of you.
Yeah.
In person.
Really?
Yeah. It's
that huge. Big.
So big.
Wow.
Yeah. So big. His paw is like the size of your head.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Like, all right.
What the hell kind of tiger was that?
Mm-hmm. So imagine having.
Sounds like from Kong Island or something. Right.
Right? So imagine being able to afford a bunch of animals for your party, but you have no food. I was like, what is this?
No food for them?
No food for the people at the
party.
Oh,
for the people.
Yes.
Yeah, they spent all the money on the animals.
We went from party to party to party, and I was looking for food. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm starving. So we ended up at a party at that guy's house that turned me down. I just always end up there now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you end up there?
Because my girlfriend.
You guys hang out the same crowd.
Yeah, and my girlfriend's actually asleep in my car right now.
Oh, right now.
Yeah. She just Ubered here. Because she, like, left with some guy at the party, and she's like, 911, all her stuff is at my house. I go, I already left for work. You can come meet me at work, sleep in the car, and then go with me to my audition.
Well, what kind of a life is that? Why do people live like that?
I don't know, but she was definitely on a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was like, girl.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a way to party. I remember when I was a kid, we'd party by dancing and music.
I mean, people were doing fun, that too. You know?
Yeah, but not a lot.
No, not a lot.
You know, there was no drugs when I was a kid at all. You know, now kids are exposed to it early on.
And there was like 18, 19-year-olds at the party. Mind you, there was this one cute guy at the party, and I was talking to him all night. And then I was like, so how old are you? And he kept avoiding the questions. So his boy came over like mid through the night and was like, wow, you're stunning. And I was like, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, how old's your friend? And he looks at him and he goes, hey, guy, are you like 18 or 19 now? And I go, nah.
Really?
Yeah. And I looked at him. I go, really? I told you I was 30. He goes, what? I like older women. I'm like, not by 12 years, bud. You can't even legally drink. Like, stop it. He was really good looking.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And that guy, Josh, again, in front of all his boys, was like, I told all my boys I'm not into you, which means he's definitely into me. Like, yeah. If you keep bringing it up and making it like a point, you're definitely into me.
Probably. I mean, if you guys keep running into each other. And
he makes it a point every single time to be like, I'm not giving you what you want. Yeah. And he pulled me aside and said, stop playing games with me. I go, games with you? I barely even talk to you. I just show up at your parties and pray that there's food, and there isn't. So.
Right. And maybe you'll be interested in me one day, right? Is that what you're hoping?
I don't really care about that right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's good looking. Don't get me wrong.
Right. But that's not the point.
He slept with two people at the party last night. Mm,
really?
Two different women at the party. Oh, wow. One on the roof. We
must
could all
be
see
an
you.
Alpha male. Huh?
Yeah. Or just somebody who got his heart broken.
Male, my ass. He's just like spreading his
seed.
His seed.
Yeah. Well, I think guys like that get their heart broken.
Yeah.
And that's why they treat women like that, because they're just so scared they're going to get their heart broken again.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe some kind of resentment toward women.
Yeah.
But I see that. I mean, I see that kids today will have sex every day with somebody else. You know?
Yeah. Needless to say,
you
I
have
was sober.
That Tinder and stuff. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You were sober.
Sober last night, but I had an anxiety attack at the party at like 12:45 in the morning.
Oh no!
Like a full blown anxiety attack.
Oh wow!
And every time I have anxiety attacks when I'm in like a surrounding where I don't know anyone, I feel like somebody drugged me.
Really?
But it's just my anxiety.
Yeah.
So I had a full blown meltdown, embarrassed myself.
Wow.
I don't know why I had one.
That's appropriate because we have a guest today. We're going to talk about mental health and everything.
Okay.
We're going to bring her on.
That's perfect. Yeah, I had a full
We can analyze your freaking anxiety and see what's going on.
I didn't know if it was because I had the dog at home.
Yeah.
And it was gone for hours. Mind you, I wasn't even gone for that long. I left at 6:30 and I got back at 1.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was like, I don't know what it was. But underlining, I was middle of the party. I was like, I looked at the girl I was with. I was like, I'm having an anxiety attack.
Really?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Have you had it before?
Yeah, I had them before. I used to
get them. Like in public places?
Not in public. I used to get them all the time, like at home.
Yeah.
And my sister is the only one that like would be around. She'd be like, get it together.
Yeah.
That's it. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
I've never actually, I've had them on planes.
Yeah.
But I've never actually had one like at a party.
Yeah.
Until I moved here.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had anxiety on a plane that one time. When I took an edible.
Yeah, but that's different.
But that's different, right?
That's different. No. No, I felt like I took an edible because my mouth got super dry out all of a sudden.
Really?
Like I smoked weed. You know how sometimes you get cotton mouth?
Sometimes, all the time.
And I was like, I haven't had a drink in 3 hours.
Yeah.
I haven't smoked any weed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even drink water when I was at the party. So maybe I was dehydrated.
Maybe something happened to you.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
I don't know.
As long as you're in one piece, you're looking great. So you're going for an audition?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's for a one-day project, but still.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's like,
that's how you get started.
You just got to read lines. So I had to send in an audition tape first, and I had to memorize like a paragraph full of science stuff.
Really?
And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And then I got it down. I just called my sister, and I said it like 100 times on FaceTime.
Oh.
Then I filmed it, and they called me back and said to come in to meet in person.
Good.
Today.
There you go, you see.
So we'll see.
You still have that magic in you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the right projects, you're going to get work. You know, there's no doubt about it.
She said if you're good on the one day project, they'll just keep calling you back for like random projects, which is good. Mm.
And is that through your agent?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
I found it on Craigslist, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Not everything on Craigslist is sketchy.
Tell the agent to get going, though.
Yeah, I mean, he got me the show, though. Hopefully, knock on wood. If I can get through it, all my. Oh, I keep saying, I keep almost giving up the show and I can't.
Okay, so don't do it.
Yep.
We'll talk about something else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to bring on our guest right now, who probably has a lot to say about Danny's life. But are you a therapist, Lori?
I am not a therapist, but I am on therapist number 7 myself. So I've had a lot of experience.
All right. Well, Lori Finkelstein, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You wrote a book called Next Therapist, Please. And that's why
that's
I thought.
Clever.
Yeah. And she talks about, a woman that goes to therapists like leased cars. Mm. So that sounds like me. I go through a lot of leased cars.
So it's a fictional book.
It is fictional, but okay. It's based on real life experience.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, obviously, if you say you've been to a lot of therapists, you can relate to your character.
Right.
Very much so.
Right.
Very much so. Both Janie in the book and myself, we grew up with OCD, anxiety, a lot of anxiety, mm-hmm. and depression.
Really?
Yes.
Imagine having all that in one person, huh?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot to handle.
Right. So do you see different therapists for each of those or one therapist for all?
Well, my therapist changed through the years. I started as in high school, mm-hmm. with my first therapist. Mm-hmm. And my first couple of therapists were non-effective. So I stopped therapy for a while.
Right.
And then things were getting out of control again and not manageable. So then it's like, okay, now I need to see a therapist. Well, the therapists I saw before were no longer in the area or available, so then I'd find a new therapist.
Right.
Then our health insurance would change, and mm-hmm. I'd have to find a new therapist. Or we would move, and I would have to find a new therapist.
Right.
So a lot of times it wasn't by choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times it was by choice because I wasn't getting what I needed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, fix your headphones. It's bothering me because it's probably not comfortable for you on that side, right?
Really? Well, it is.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, it feels
okay.
Very good.
What's wrong with it? Not perfect.
Oh, it's like lopsided. It's fine.
No, it's just that it's bent because you can have it folded too.
I think Sam has a little bit of OCD.
I have OCD when it comes to this shit. Are you kidding me? No, I mean, the thing is that with me, I never realized it, because I've got enough problems that it is, right? I mean, I'm bipolar and all that, and who knows what else, but I never thought of OCD about my behavior because I just thought, well, I grew up with two Virgos, both my parents, and those are neat and clean and organized and stuff. So it's sort of like passed on, to me and my brother. My third brother, forget about him. He's a mess. Just like my son, I mean, my son moved in with me. I'm walking on clothes when I go in his room. I said, why? Why do you have to drop your clothes right where you are? Can't you just pick it up and put it in the hamper or something,
Yeah.
But we digress here. the point is that I always, things have to look perfect, for me. So it's like, the studio, when there's no people here, everything is at 90 degrees and clean, spotless.
That's OCD, Sam.
I think that's OCD,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 110%, because I don't pay attention to stuff like that.
I know. I mean, I can sit here, and if the microphone is not straight, I have to straighten it.
Yeah.
That's OCD, right?
Yes.
That has a lot to do
with it, but it doesn't interfere with my life. You see, that's the thing. So it's mild.
Well, you don't know if it does or not.
No, it doesn't, really.
Actually, it makes you more effective.
Right. Mm. I'm cleaner and stuff. But it is an obsession, It's not like a compulsion to change it or something.
Right.
But I think about it.
Right.
Know? Yeah. But I think any health problem becomes serious when you can't function anymore.
Right.
Absolutely. And I really champion people with mental illness. There are about 42.5 million people in America
right now. In America alone.
About one in five people have a mental illness. And I recently read that today it's actually one in four people experience a mental illness.
Yeah.
And we really need to bring that dialogue and bring it into the mainstream of healthcare.
Right.
I work very closely with a nonprofit NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness. Uh-huh. And they are a great resource that I have used personally, and I have a special needs son who we use the services for. And so it's really important to me to break the stigma of mental illness one laugh at a time, but also I donate 10% of my sales from this book to NAMI. And
that's awesome.
That's
so,
my way of giving back. And
So other you grew up with this stuff. You know what it's like.
I sure do.
I mean, and you got your share of, and plus a special needs son too, right?
Yes.
So wow, that's a handful.
Bipolar with high functioning Asperger's, really? And he's gone through many diagnoses through the years, because as your body changes, so can the mental health issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
how many kids do you have? Just one?
I have two sons.
Uh-huh.
And they are 28 and 31. My 28-year-old has been blessed with our genetic makeup, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. My older son.
What does
has
that mean?
Not. Well, the mental
the stuff
illness passed is
on.
Passed on through the generations. It runs in our family.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
And it is a family thing. I mean, when I look back, I realize I come from a background with a lot of mental health problems.
Right. And your older son does not?
He does not, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so
doesn't
skip
have
him.
To, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, both my kids are having problems. You know,
it's very common.
Yeah, yeah, and I look at my father's family. I mean, two suicides, two attempted suicides. You know, craziness in the house, violence, abuse. You know, things like that. And I've seen it all. You know,
right?
And and then alcoholism in one person, and this
so
and
you
that.
Have
my
two,
father was yeah. my father was the one that. Actually, the only one that was still sane out of everybody there, for real, you know,
right,
when I look
right.
at it. He didn't have any addictions, any mental illness, really. Just had some bad upbringing. So,
sure.
you know, so he would do, like, silent treatments and shit like that.
Like,
you know?
Not talk
if
to you?
If he was mad. And to my mom, I mean, can you imagine not being talked to by your dad for, like, weeks?
Yeah, that's weird.
Wow.
Right?
That's hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's all he knew, you know? I mean, he grew up with a very abusive family, you know, because that's all they knew. You know, this was back in Israel in the 30s and 40s, and people were poor. They were immigrants,
mm-hmm.
And they came from areas like they came from Greece, you know, and Mediterraneans do have a temper, you know. So you put all these things together. Mm-hmm. My God, man, you know. So if I'm still alive and functioning, but for me it happened. I mean, I've gone through a lot of psychiatrists and therapists,
mm-hmm.
but I think what finally made me a functioning person again was medication. You know, I found medication is a must. My son's going through difficulties right now, and he's not taking his meds. And I said, we can't even talk to you when you're not on meds. You know, you got to be stable. And soon it becomes hard to live with. You know the person doesn't really want to be like that, but at the same time they're treating you like crap.
Yeah.
You know?
I took a very hard stance. My son went through a period where he stopped taking his medication. And it's a very serious problem. Medication
right.
is essential for his functioning. It's essential for my functioning. And he refused to go on medication. So
yeah.
we got to the point where we had to pull the tough love.
Yeah.
And we pulled him out of his apartment.
Right.
And said, you live in your car. This was really extreme.
Wow.
Really extreme.
How old was he at the time?
This was just a couple years ago.
Yeah, so in his mid-20s.
26.
Mm. And, that's about what my son's is right now.
And it was really, really hard. It was hard for, as a parent.
I can imagine.
It was hard for him, but it worked. And
he had to learn to survive on his own.
Exactly.
Or he becomes homeless.
Exactly. He was homeless, and it broke him to the point where now he is stable on medication. He has got a job again. He is happy. And I don't recommend that possibly for everybody, but it certainly backfire. But sometimes you have to do very You have to,
like,
as a parent.
Drastic steps.
Drastic, yes.
Yeah. See, I don't think I could do that, though, with all the tough love I want to do. He's never going to forget it for me, you know?
Right.
He blames me for everything anyway, you know?
Right.
And
my grandmother was bipolar.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up living with her, my mom's mom. Yeah. It was insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, like insanity.
It breaks up families.
They were not close.
It leads to suicide. I think the majority of people that commit suicide... bipolar, you know, they have, because the depression part of bipolar is very, very hard.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I mean, I'm seeing it on my son
very
right now.
Serious.
It reminds me how I was.
Right.
Right. But we have to remember that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. We need to get to our young people at a earlier age so that we can talk about mental illness as a health issue.
Mm. Right.
And get to our young people before they have a incident or a breakdown. And one of the reasons that I wrote Next Therapist Please as a romantic comedy is I wanted to make it accessible to people. I wanted to make mental illness a mainstream issue. I wanted to bring the human element to it. And humor is a fabulous way to level the playing field.
Right.
And
yeah,
so that we all speak a similar language that way.
Right, yeah. So, you know, and the hard thing is to get them to take medication and everything, because the side effects, often the sexual side effects, and they don't like it, so they don't take the pills, you know?
Yeah, I don't think my grandmother was on medication. I think she was in denial that she was bipolar, but I'll never forget this day. Like, my mom and dad took all three kids, because we live with her. So basically, it was my grandmother's house, but my mom's name was on the deed, but all of us lived with her, because the house was big. My mom's dad built it, and one day they took us all to like a museum. We were gone for hours, but we were like driving home, and we saw her like on the highway, and we were like in the middle of nowhere. Like, we were in Springfield. It was like 2 hours away from us, and she was like next to us on the highway doing like 90 miles per hour. We're like, what the hell is Nana doing on this highway? So when we got home, like, she trashed the front yard.
Wow.
Like, took all the food from the fridge, put it in the driveway. And then, like, the next day acted like she didn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all I remember growing up with. Like, I'd be, like, in the living room, like, singing to the Aladdin tape, you know, like, the actual cassette tape.
Right.
And she'd be, like, singing with me and then flip the switch and, like, start screaming about shutting the music off.
Wow.
And I was like...
Yeah,
and we're young, so we
on?
Don't know what's wrong with her.
Exactly. You think it's you, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And we're like, yo, Nana's really mean. Nana is not a nice person, because you just don't know. And it wasn't until, like, we got older where she evicted us.
Really?
She evicted the whole family.
Jeez.
Yeah. So all of us went from this big house to having to move into a small apartment, because she had, like, a mental breakdown and, like, hit my mom with eviction papers. And even though her name was on the list, she just didn't want... She was racist, too, so it didn't help that she didn't really love us because we were half black. It was a tough...
Oh, my God.
It's a tough, like, family dynamic, for sure.
Yes. No wonder you have so much anxiety.
Yeah, my mom now will explain it to us. And, like, sometimes I'll be looking at my mom... And I'll see a little, like, anytime I fight with her and I know this is awful, I'll call her Pat. I'll hit her with that jab.
Oh, is that the mother's name?
Her mom's name.
Yeah.
And she just loses it.
Really?
That's her button.
But then I get upset because I see a lot of my grandmother and my mom, and people, like my mom, I mean, my dad, my sister, and my brother say they see a lot of mom and me. And
you.
I get like offended by it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I refuse.
Well, it goes through the generations. What can you?
Yeah, no, I think I have a little bit of like I sometimes my emotions do like flip the switch. Like, I'll be like really happy at one point, and then I'll just feel like I want to murder someone the next. But it's not like long, drastic periods. It's just like quick.
That's situational.
And I can snap out of it. You know,
right,
like
right.
Last night at the party after an anxiety attack, I cried. For like 10 minutes, I had no idea why I was crying, and then I was fine.
And then you were fine. It'd be really great. You need a toolbox.
Right.
You need a mental health anxiety toolbox.
Right.
That when you're going through it, if you can catch it soon enough, it doesn't go into a panic attack.
Right,
and
right.
That's one of the things that I've learned through the years with my therapist, is building that arsenal of weaponry that you can use against it.
And you can get... You can have... So is anxiety considered a mental illness, or is it considered anxiety?
It is a mental illness.
Yeah,
okay. Because my sister never really got it. until now.
And there's different kinds of anxiety.
Besides, it can get triggered later on in life, you know, but then stay.
Yeah. So, like, she was dropping her son off at day camp, and she said that she started, like getting really hot, and she fainted, and they called the ambulance, and then the medical people were like, you had a panic attack.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you. You had a panic attack. And she's like, she called me. She goes, this has never happened to me before. But I think my parents is, because my parents just split after 33 years of being together, and she's stuck in the middle because she's back home and she still lives with my mom. I think that's what's triggering it.
It sounds that way.
Yeah, but her anxiety attacks are really bad. Like, if she said it feels like she's having a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah,
it would be really beneficial to seek a therapist in this situation, because it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to need medication. Maybe it just needs
to talk about it.
To talk about it and learn some tools that can get you out of it.
Right. How to deal with it
as possible. There's many techniques that work very well.
Right.
So you went through therapists and everything. Let's find out a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
I grew up initially in Covina, California, but...
Oh, so you're from Cali.
I'm from California. I was born on Sunset Boulevard, so I am a true Hollywood girl.
Whoa.
It happened to have been in a hospital on Sunset, but it was Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, so it's not like in the car or something in the middle of the day. Okay.
No.
Well, that's good. So you're a Hollywood girl.
Hollywood, yes. And then we did move to L.A., and I lived in L.A. We were really close to Century City, Beverly Hills, Westwood. We were in a great location.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Very nice. And do you have any siblings?
I have two sisters. I do. One lives in Northern California with my mother, who is just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's another whole subject.
Oh, my God.
And I have another sister that lives in Altadena, so she's close by.
Oh, so it's all sisters.
I think I just read an article that Alzheimer's got linked to mental illness, too. I read like the weirdest articles online, so I never know what I'm reading is. I say a lot of fake news on here, don't I? Like a lot of fake news. But I did read a headline that said that, and that they also have a cure for Alzheimer's.
It's
which
possible. Who knows? You know, it's all in the brain.
That's another thing. Do you think mental illness is just like we're doing it to ourselves? Because sometimes I feel like I have like panic attacks and I'm like, am I doing this to myself? Like, am I doing this?
Look, you could in your way of thinking. And that's what I'm saying again. If it's a situational anxiety, you're probably like, doing it to yourself.
When I get on a plane, I have full-blown panic attacks. Uh-huh. And I know I'm like, okay, I'm probably doing this to myself, right?
Well, it perpetuates itself.
Yeah.
It's like a steamroller or a snowball. It just keeps picking up momentum.
Right.
Well, wow.
May start out innocent, but before you know it.
Yeah.
So what were things like at home? Were your parents okay? Or in hindsight, do you think they had something too?
Definitely on my dad's side, that's where most of the mental illness comes from. And I know that he did suffer from depression. There were suicides in the family. My mother, because I was so introverted, my mother didn't know what was really going on with me.
Yeah.
I didn't, and this is as young as in preschool, where I was having anxiety issues and fears and phobias.
Right. But you don't know what to call it or anything.
But fears and phobias is not mental illness, I don't think.
No, that's different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because I have tons of fears and phobias, but I don't think that's mental illness. I think that's just preference, right?
It is. But I was experiencing anxiety and panic attacks at a very young age.
Right.
I had OCD at a very young age, so certain things had to be lined up a certain way.
Right.
If I drank water, I had to take so many sips to even it out.
Right. You see how crazy that gets?
Yeah, that's
that's what I'm saying. I don't really have that.
No, you definitely have a little bit of OCD.
Yeah, I think it's just
I've noticed it for sure.
Okay, but nothing like this. I'll tell you why. Because in OCD also, you sort of feel that if you don't do the ritual, something bad's going to happen.
Exactly.
You see, and with me, it's not like that, you know?
Yeah, that's
just
what the
compulsion organization
is. You have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. And then, so in Next Therapist, Please, all the therapy sessions are my actual therapist. And in the dialogue between the therapist and Janie in the book, you discover all the ways that my mental illness manifested itself. So it's very authentic.
Yeah. Huh?
Right.
So you passed on a lot of a lot of your experience into the character.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Does she grow up in L.A. also, or is she somewhere else?
She ends up living in Balboa Island in Newport Beach.
Oh, okay.
I love Newport Beach.
Beautiful place.
It's a gorgeous place.
Balboa Island is beautiful.
It's a fabulous location. It was a great location to write about.
Right.
And it had a lot of fun elements that I could use. Yeah. Wait,
Newport Beach is an
island. Give her an excuse to go there, right? And spend some time at the beautiful place.
Newport Beach isn't an island.
No, but there's an island.
There is. Newport Beach isn't. But there's this little island. It's connected by a bridge over Jamboree. Right. And there's a peninsula that when you look across from Balboa Island, there's homes and shops. And then you look across the peninsula, there's a fun zone and a couple walks down to the beach.
Right, right. And so there, like she said, it's a peninsula. So when you drive there, both sides, there's water around you, you know?
Right.
And beautiful houses. I mean, it's got to be very expensive there, too, because it's prime area.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's beautiful there.
So it's like a mini Catalina Island, but in Newport.
Something like that. Yeah.
I like Catalina Island. I just don't like that boat ride. I literally got so seasick on that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No, Catalina is huge, but compared to this, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Catalina's not that big, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty big. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's like we like walked in a circle and we saw like all the shops and restaurants. I was like, how do people live here?
Yeah, because you were just downtown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. I was like, how do people live here? I would literally lose it.
Yeah.
Like when they were describing, we had guests on Tuesday that live in Manhattan Beach, and the way they described it, I was like, I would be miserable.
Really? In Manhattan Beach? Why?
Because it's
near the beach.
No, but I wouldn't want to live in a town where like I went to the store and like knew everybody at the store.
Well, I think they exaggerated.
No, I think they were being dead ass.
In Manhattan Beach, no. Listen, I mean, it's not like L.A., but you don't know everybody. I mean, you might know some people because a lot of people walk there, you know?
Wait, to Manhattan Beach?
Yeah, where they live. So they live like a couple of
Like a mile away from the beach, yeah.
Right, and they go, many of them, not a mile, but a block or two, you know?
Right.
So those people probably know each other because everybody walks. They have the Strand, which is like a pathway where you can walk along the sand and stuff. So, I can imagine, you know, that it would be like that there. But, I guess you're right. You know, if you grew up in the big city, you don't want to live in a place where everybody
knows. When I get older, I definitely would. Just maybe for my kids' sake, you know. I don't want my kids in a city.
I like being in a smaller community where you do know everybody.
I just wouldn't want anybody in my business. And I feel like in small towns like that, they smile at you and be like, how was soccer practice? And then they all have like wine night and talk shit about you. Right?
I guess. I don't know.
Do you guys remember that show? What was this? Pleasantville? Not Pleasantville. Something Housewives. It was scripted. Eva Longoria was on it.
Oh, Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, that's what I anytime I think of a small town, I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Murder and backstabbing.
Yeah.
I'm dramatic.
Well, so at what point did you decide you're going to write a book about your experiences and put it in novel form?
It started when my son with special needs went to ITT Tech. And I had to drive him there. He wasn't driving yet. And so I would sit in the parking lot, and I was dealing with a lot of emotional baggage. And I thought, why don't I use this time to journal all these episodes throughout my life?
Right. And that's great, because then you can look back and remember what happened, you know?
Right.
I mean, with me, it's just like memories. It's even hard for me to remember where I came from. But when I look at my son, I remember exactly how terrible it was. But you documented it, which is awesome.
I documented it, and then I had these group of stories that were really funny, funny in a dark way, but really interesting. And I thought, you know what, these stories need to come out because there's a message in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, because I do love romantic comedies and I do believe that humor is a unifying force, I decided to put it within the framework of a fictional character, fictional story, in a romantic comedy.
Right.
But still bring my point across, and that is that we need to talk about mental illness. This is something that affects everybody.
Yeah, and I feel like there's no shows really. There's not really any movies that have like actually focused or had like a main character. They might have like a side character or something that's like bipolar. But
some have been, but not a lot. There's been extreme ones like The Cuckoo's Nest. That was like extreme. You know?
Like in a movie like Equalizer. Do you guys know what that is?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Denzel Washington. It was like an action movie. Right. Yeah, the second one's coming out in like 2 weeks.
It's on Hulu or something.
Such a good movie. It's so badass.
Really?
But in the movie, he has OCD like a mother. So they'll like add, like movies will put like something like that in, but they won't like, the movie won't be about his OCD. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Well, actually, that's a great thing because then that's normalizing it. Right. That's just part of who he is.
Yeah.
Right. Which is great.
Extreme OCD. Like he would kill somebody and then like clean it, like have to like fix it.
Really?
So, yeah, literally. It's why he was a good killer, because he had OCD.
Yeah.
He cleaned up really good.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. Huh?
So good.
I'll watch it then. I'll have to watch
like
it.
Like Monk, that show that was on air for like 20 years, OCD.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 So what a great show.
That was a great character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just got so scared.
No. Something happened here with the power or the computer. Or something. Hold on.
Flash. Yeah, the lights flash. That's why.
Oh,
I got
the lights flash too.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Power surge, maybe.
Yeah, but thank goodness it didn't turn off everything, huh? The computers are on. Usually they have
a power solar
surge.
Flare.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my God, like, what was that?
I literally got so scared because of the flash. Yeah. I was like, what is that?
People don't know what we're talking about, but
Let's
see. I want to make sure everything's still working. Yeah, I guess we are. Okay, but at any rate, something happened here, and there was like a flash. We don't know exactly what happened here. We just know that everything stopped working for a split second. But that was weird,
That
right?
was weird. That freaked me out. I thought we were about to have an earthquake. Did you see how fast my headphones came off? I was like, I am out of here.
I'm surprised you're not under the table.
Yeah, I was like,
she didn't have enough time.
Literally freaking out. That was weird.
That was weird.
I like went blind for a second. That was bright. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, flash, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah.
You see, now if we had someone psychic here, they would start with that garbage.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
yeah.
It's a ghost. They made it like this.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, you do.
Yeah, I guess.
There's no such thing. But at any rate, give us a little gist of the plot. What does Janie go through here?
Well, Janie...
She's distracted, folks.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we know she has anxiety, depression, and OCD, and she does go through therapists like lease cars. Every few years, she trades in for a new one. she meets up with her ex-hypnotherapist, and this is after a tragedy in her life. He's retired, but they form a friendship, and through the help with Dr. Rob, Janie is able to... move forward in her life and work through her issues to the point where she's living effectively between the medication and the therapy and she had been without a therapist for over 5 years, so she was really in need of a tune-up. So he guides her through, and they go on adventures, and then she looks back at all the therapists in her life. Which explains where she came from and then how far she has come to living a healthy, productive life.
Right.
I really like the cover.
Thank you. I had a great...
It's cute.
Yeah. Who's the artist that did this?
Yes. Patrick Knowles did the cover design and hand lettering, and Lucy Truman... did the illustration.
Very nice.
How come she's holding paintbrushes?
Because Janie is an artist, and that is what she gets into galleries. The story opens up at her first gallery show.
Oh, okay.
So, and she uses paints. Her art as a way, also, it's good therapy.
Right, for sure.
Wow. So that's very good. Happy ending, I guess.
It's a romantic comedy. Yeah. It's a law. It must have a happy ending.
Yeah, right, romantic right. comedies have to have a happy ending.
Right, right.
There's one sad part, and then we're like, okay, but they're going to get back together for sure.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
It's usually how every romantic comedy goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most movies go like that, unless they're like scary.
No. Yeah.
No. Usually there's happy ending.
No, there was one, The Breakup, with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. I thought they were for sure going to get back together, like any romantic comedy.
Yeah.
They see each other at a baseball game like a year later, and they're just like...
Well, maybe that's what made it different, you know?
Yeah, I hated that movie. I never watched it twice, so. Nobody likes a non-happy ending.
Yeah, right.
Not that's in romance. True. Yeah. Never. No.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So, and is this new? Did you just publish this?
It's been out for a year.
Uh-huh.
And I have a couple more books coming down the pike, which is really
exciting. Oh, really?
Exciting.
So, like, what are you going to write about next?
Well, my next book is a nonfiction adult humor book. It's called A Hoot, A-H-O-O-T, which is an acronym for A Higher Order of Thinking.
Uh-huh.
And it is my midlife initiation into medical marijuana and what every newbie should know before they light up.
Oh, cool.
Sam should read that.
Yeah, well, we have another pothead here in the studio with us.
Absolutely. It's helped my insomnia.
It's helped, right?
And my anxiety and depression. It's been very useful because medication isn't perfect. And it doesn't work 100%. And I think that's important for people to know.
Right. So, and I mean, most people have used marijuana to self-medicate early on in life and realized... You know what? This is helping me, you know? And the funny thing, I started in the 70s just as recreational stuff. And then I realized this stuff really is helping me, you know?
Right.
So helping me at least want to get up in the morning, you know? You get something to look forward to.
Right.
At times when I was depressed and I didn't know I was depressed.
Right.
It just, that was like the norm for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So then I realized, wow, this stuff is really special, you know? So all I can tell you is almost with a few years of exception when I got married and had my kids, where I'd stopped because she didn't want me to. And also I thought, you know, I don't
Mistake
want this to go to the kids or something.
Not do something if someone doesn't want you to do
it. Right, right. But I should have known better, right?
Yeah.
That's why I ended up in a divorce eventually.
Damn.
But... And also probably my bipolar condition probably led in a big part to the divorce too.
Yeah.
You know, I believe I was hard to live with at the time.
Right. That is a difficult situation.
Yeah.
Right. But you find out throughout your life that, hey, you know, marijuana is actually helping me and whatever, you know, I felt guilty about it for years. You know, living in the closet with marijuana, you know.
Which is very sad. A lot of people are still doing it, although
And I'm still doing it, you know, like I feel guilty talking about it to some people or I don't want
smoking
them to
weed?
Know. Yeah.
Oh, not here.
I don't want
no.
them to know. You
I
know?
Feel like weed is such like a normal thing now.
Yeah.
Even for kids, like any party you go to, any house you go to, like lighting up is just like so normal now.
So are you saying I shouldn't worry about my neighbors anymore stinking them out and stuff?
And your neighbors are probably smoking weed too.
No, and it's healthier than alcohol. It's healthier than tobacco. It has many medicinal properties.
Right.
I think there's so much we don't know about it yet.
Right.
In its infancy.
When did you discover it? When did it enter your life?
Seriously, 5 years ago. Of course, I experimented in college, but I didn't like smoking a joint. It was harsh. It hurt my lungs. I didn't like it.
I love smoking joints. I hate smoking bowls.
Well, now I love smoking a joint.
Right.
And I love a bong, and I have vape pens for discretion. And,
and edibles sometimes.
Edibles can be fun. They're a little unpredictable.
Yeah.
So in
Not if you do it all the time. Then you know exactly what to expect.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes a lot of trial and error and listening to your bud tenders and in my book I have a lot of basics ABCs about the basics of marijuana and how to start slowly and responsibly.
Yeah, very cool.
They were like, they had weed at the party yesterday and like he was just walking around in a solo red cup like who wants some marijuana, and I'm like, is this for free? He was like, yeah. So I stuck my hand in and I took like a handful. It was, I don't know what they were trying to, what they were trying to give away. It didn't, yeah. didn't even feel like weed. Oh, I'm like, what is
I
this?
I would not have gone near it.
Yeah. Wow, no, I tossed it.
Yeah.
They have like, that artificial or synthetic weed.
Yeah, it was not. It that whatever they were giving out at that party was not weed. Yeah. I'm like, who's smoking this? It literally like, it felt like paper mache.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what is, it smelled like weed, but like, you know when weed gets stale almost and it smells like weed, but it's faded?
Right.
It wasn't that strong, potent, like, oh, I'm about to get high right now, weed. Right, yeah. Right. And I have moon rock in my bedroom, but I'm too scared to smoke it. I'm way too scared to smoke
it. And I am out of the loop on that. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know.
Do you know what it is? What,
about moon rock? Moon rock is just a little bit that you put on the joint and it helps you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like really concentrated weed.
And it's like powder.
It looks like powder.
Right? Well, the powder is keef, but this one's like thicker than powder, right?
Well, I have them in balls.
Right.
I'm going to bring them in tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll try to remember. So you can just tell me if like that is even moon rock. Because I got it. There was some guy I went to his apartment. My friend was like hooking up with him and he just had like these huge containers of weed. And I was like,
oh, good.
If I want to sit here and wing it out, I'm taking some of this. But I grabbed moon rock instead of actual weed. So I just, that's my karma. Yeah. I'm making something that's not mine. But he said you can sell it for like $80 a ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so much more to talk about, but we're totally out of time. Lori Finkelstein, we didn't even mention your name more than once during the show. But here we go. Lori Finkelstein is here with us.
Did you say Finkelstein or Finkelstein?
Finkelstein, she said.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm saying it right.
Yeah. Well, I was just... You never know.
No, I know. I'm glad you asked me, but I believe me, I would not wait till the end of the show to ask her if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
That's true. That's true.
Next Therapist, Please is the name of the book, folks. Pick it up. Sounds interesting to me, especially for people that have experienced these things, and they can probably relate to it, you know?
Absolutely. Totally. And for those that haven't, now they have an idea of what it's like, and it builds empathy and compassion.
Right, and feel blessed you don't have any of this stuff, because, my God,
that
man,
too.
You know, I mean, that can be worse than any physical disease you can have. You know?
I mean, I definitely want to see a therapist, like, just, like, sometimes I feel like I just want to talk, but I tell Sam all the time, I saw one therapist, and he was just, like, laughing at my jokes.
Yeah.
And was not like helping me. Like, he didn't say anything. He would just laugh the whole time. Like, I was a comedian, and then say, okay, I'll see you next week. I'm like, and I'd go home and I'd look at my mom and my sister. I'm like, I am no different. Nothing has changed. But my mom has been seeing a therapist since she split with my dad, and nothing has changed for her either.
Because we're out of time. Sorry to cut you off. Lori, how could people find you, more about you, more about the book?
The book is available at all your favorite retailers online, ebook and paperback. I can be found at Lori Beth Art. B-E-T-H is my middle name, so an A-R-T is what I am, an artist. Uh-huh. LoriBethArt.com. I am on Twitter. I am on Facebook. I can be found pretty much anywhere. And my email is Lori@LoriBethArt.com.
Sounds good. Very simple.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. All the best to you. And you're welcome to come back and talk about weed anytime.
Or your new book when you release it.
Or your new book. Mm-hmm. Well, which is both weed and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So bring some joints when you come. Yeah. We'll smoke during the show.
All right, everybody. thank you, Danny. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.